This morning, I want to tell you about a history story where history records that many years ago, there was a man who was condemned to death. And when it came time for this man to lay his head on the chopping block, the prince who was in charge of the execution asked that man, "Do you have any last request?" And all that the condemned man could think to ask for was a glass of water. And so they went and they got him a cup of water. And when they gave it to him, he was trembling so bad that he couldn't get the water to his mouth. And finally, the prince calmly said, "Your life is safe until you drink that water." And so, trusting in the prince's word, that condemned man poured the water out on the ground. Obviously unable to scoop the water up off the ground, his life was spared. By trusting God at his word, our lives can be spared from sin's penalty, and in turn, we can receive life's greatest treasure, and that is a birthmark. A birthmark. This birthmark is promised to believers in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse 12, where John records this, saying, "But as many as receive him," Jesus, "to them Jesus gave the right to become children of God." They've received the birthmark. "To those who believe in his name," that's how they received the birthmark. "Not born of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." Now, Jesus told Nicodemus that we enter God's kingdom by being born again, born afresh, born from above, born of God, right? And we do that by receiving this birthmark that I'm going to be talking about today. And this birthmark is given by God when you place your faith in his son Jesus Christ for what he accomplished for you and me on the cross atop Mount Calvary. Here's what Jesus said to Nicodemus that day. In John chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "There was a man of the Pharisees, the ultra-religious, if you will, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, born of God, he's got that birthmark, he cannot even see the kingdom of God.'" Now, in 1 John, that letter of 1 John, the same apostle that wrote that gospel gives us some birthmarks that we're going to be discussing today. Some birthmarks to those who come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You see, if you're indeed born again, if you are indeed saved by faith, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, listen to me. If you're listening, say amen. If you're saved, there will be evidence. If you're born again, the evidence will be there. Do you see the evidence in your life? Today, we're going to be looking at three of those evidences that we're going to call born again birthmarks. Born again birthmarks. But before we do, the Bible says that we ought to be careful and test things. Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to test all things, hold fast to what is good. He told a different church in Corinth, he said, examine yourselves to whether you are in the faith. In other words, hey, you need to test yourself. John said in 1 John 4:1, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. So John is saying to us here that to determine if you're truly born again, we ought to take a test. Take a test of which there could be at least three questions. The first question of this very important test is this. Do I obey God's book? In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 3, John said this to those believers, that's important. He wrote this to believers, okay? Now by this we know that we know him. Here it comes, brace yourself. If we keep his commandments. He said to these believers, he who says, I know him and doesn't keep the commandments is a liar. Wow. And the truth is not even in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. I don't know about y'all, but that one kind of pierced my heart. John ain't messing around. He ain't beating around the bush right there, is he? He says, in effect, look, don't tell me that you're saved if you're not keeping the commandments. That's what he said. He said, if you say that you are, but you're not, you're a liar. What he said. But friend, I want to be very, very clear with you this morning so that you understand this clearly. You are not saved by keeping the commandments. None of us can completely keep the commandments. However, obeying the Lord becomes a priority for me when I got saved. I know I don't do it perfectly all the time, but it becomes a priority for me. I'm not saved by commandment keeping, but I will strive to obey my Father. It's that important. Now, that passage I just shared with you brings up some really serious problems for us. Because since the day I've been saved, since the day you've been saved, not a single one of us has kept the commandments 100%. Amen? Is there anybody that has? Anybody? Stand up if anybody has kept them 100% of the time. I already knew that, by the way. Amen? But to understand this word keep, will clarify where John is speaking from. The original Bible word that's used for keep there, where John said, by this we know that we know him, if we keep the commandments. That original Bible word means to watch over. And sailors from back in the day used to use that word. See, sailors back in that day didn't have GPS. They didn't have radios where they could communicate, where they could stay navigated properly. And so they would navigate using the stars. They called this keeping the stars. Keeping the stars is much like keeping the commandments. Think about this. Any sailor could occasionally be blown off course while keeping the stars. Any sailor might get distracted and get off course while keeping the stars. Any sailor might waver this way or that, even while he's keeping the stars. When we keep the commandments, what we're saying is we steer our lives by what God says. We steer our lives by what God commands. Yeah, I might veer off course from time to time, but it's God's commandments that I steer my life with. That's keeping the commandments. So listen carefully. We're not talking about sinless perfection here. We've all acknowledged that none of us are sinlessly perfect. We're not talking about 100% obedience here because none of us can. Jesus was the only sinless one. So we must be talking about something different. Keeping the commandments means that it is our heart's desire. We are driven by the Lord and driven by his word. Our lives are led by the word of God. Now, this also opens up another problem. In chapter 3 and verse 6, we read, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoa. Whoever abides in Jesus does not sin. Anybody else got a problem with that besides me? Whoever abides in him doesn't sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is from the devil. Kind of getting in my grill a little bit here, y'all. He who sins is from the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So there we got another problem. But what we need to understand is, although you might say, I guess that means I'm done for. I guess that means that I'm counted out. Although it may seem like to you, hey, I must not be saved because I still have the ability to sin. Again, we got to understand word meanings. Notice the phrase in verse 8. He who sins. That word sins is in the present tense. And what that means to you and I is that this person that John is talking about is in the habit of continual sin. They claim to be a believer, but they are in the habit of continual sin. But John tells us that this man, this woman, does not make sin their practice. This child of God doesn't make sin their lifestyle. This Christian does not make sin their habit. Yeah, they may slip into sin, but it's not their habit. It's not their lifestyle. See, Christians can fall into sin. Christians can slip into sin. Christians can fail and therefore sin. But their heart's desire is to follow Christ. Their heart's desire is to follow the word of God and to live for God. In other words, we're called to just put our yes on the table and say, Lord, lead me. I want to be led by your word. I want to be led by your spirit. So John's given us there the first born-again birthmark. And if you put it all together and try to boil it down, it might sound like this. If you call yourself a Christian and you are not steering your life by God's commandments, if you're living a habitually sinful lifestyle, don't call yourself a Christian because you ain't one. Y'all feeling me? Now, here's a second, very important test question. that'll help us to determine if we're truly born again. And that is, am I part of Christ's body? Going back to 1 John in chapter 3, in verse 14, John says, we know, because we're taking the test, we know that we have passed from death to life. Whew, that's good news. Here's how. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's a birthmark. Because we love the brethren. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We love the family of God. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So a couple of things to be reminding of, and that is this. Remember that when we believe on the Lord Jesus, we are born again. We are born of God. We are born from above. But also remember this. When you're born again, when you're born from above, then you have a new nature. And it's not a fleshly nature. It's a nature of God. You now have God's nature. How many of you know that God's grace changes people? Amen. So when you receive the nature of God, now you got this conflict between the God nature and the flesh nature, and God's nature will win. Amen. But God's grace is what changes us. But also remember this. Being that you've been born again, being that you're born from above, born again of God, now that you have this new nature, that it's God's nature in you, now you're part of the family of God. And so you have many brothers and sisters. Because you're now God's property, because you're now God's possession, he brings you into the family, and you've got many brothers and sisters. Jesus said it this way, by this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. Friends, love is the very nature of God. And if you claim to have God's nature because you're born again, then guess what? Love for your brothers and sisters is going to be one of the starring characteristics in your life. You won't be able to help it. So to love him, to love God, to love the Lord Jesus means that I now love what he loves. I love righteousness and I no longer love sin. But it also means that when I love him, I also love who he loves. Amen? And that means every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? It's so very important, especially when it comes to his dear family. Right? So friend says, the single reason I believe why it's so absolutely foolish to say yes to Jesus, but then say no to his church. Does that make any sense to you? Does that make any sense to you? See, there are three main descriptions that the Bible uses in describing the church. The first is this. The church is a building, and Christ is its foundation. How foolish would it be to say yes to the foundation, but no to the building? Foolish. But the Bible also calls the church his bride. How foolish would it be to say yes to the bridegroom, but no to the bride? That doesn't make any sense. The Bible also calls the church his body. How foolish would it be to say yes to the head, Christ, but then say no to the body that follows the head? So the second birthmark of the born again is that believers love one another. That we are in a family and we love one another. Now, that doesn't mean that we all of a sudden become lovable, because some of us ain't. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all said that louder than others. Amen. It doesn't mean that we're all lovable, but we realize that, hey, we are all sinners, but we don't have to be. Amen. We don't have to be. We're no longer under the bondage of sin. but we can be under the bondage of righteousness. So let's choose that. See, a church, friend, is comprised of people, really, who have realized that they're sinners. But they banded themselves together in order to do something about it. And the more I learn from God's word, the more I'm influenced by the Spirit of God, the more I'm influenced by every one of you, the more I'm less inclined to sin. Amen. So, again, it doesn't mean we're not lovable or that we are lovable. It just means that I don't have to be a sinner anymore. I heard that the church is the only organization besides the Hell's Angels where you have to profess to be bad in order to join. Amen. You ever heard that? So plain and simple, those who love the church love Jesus. It's a birthmark, really. It's a birthmark of those who are born again. Now that brings us to a third test question to help us determine if we're truly born again. And this is the important question. What do I believe? What do I believe? Returning to 1 John in chapter 5, in verse 10, John says, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." Y'all feeling me? Has the witness in himself. "He who does not believe God has made him to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." This question, what do I believe, may be the most profound, most important, and most pertinent of all the test questions. All the other questions truly kind of grow out of this question. You see, belief, y'all. Belief is not just a mental exercise. It's not just mental. You don't believe about Jesus. You believe in Jesus, right? It's like, okay, I can believe that an airplane can fly, but I don't trust it till I get on board. Amen? Same thing with the Lord Jesus. You can believe in Jesus all you want, but until you get on board with Jesus, on board with what he wants for your life, it's not really belief. You can believe, but sometimes our belief is just mental. Notice in verse 10 that the Bible does not say he who has believed. Past tense. No, verse 10 says he who believes. Present tense. See, our belief is always present tense. It's always what God is doing in you now, in this day and time. Sometimes the question gets asked, hey, are you saved? And somebody might say, well, yeah, I got saved. I remember walking an aisle back when I was about 9 years old, and I gave my hand to the pastor and my heart to Jesus. Amen. Now, I realize that I'm not living for God right now. I admit that. But I know I'm saved because I remember what I did back when I was 9 years old at Vacation Bible School. I remember back in the day that I believed on Jesus. But if you're listening, say amen. The Bible never uses a past experience as proof that you're saved today. The Bible doesn't do it. Doesn't use a past experience to prove that you're saved today. It never points back to a time when you believed on Jesus. The Bible always deals with present condition. Are you believing in Jesus today? Is there evidence in your life today? The Bible never says you'll know you're saved by remembering something in the past. However, it does say, he who believes. So the question is this, and you need to ask yourself this question today. Are you believing in Jesus right now? Are you believing in Jesus right this minute? If you were to die right now, would you be heaven bound or elsewhere? Friend, are you surrendering to God now? Are you surrendering to Jesus as Lord right now? Are you being transformed right now? Friend, has your life been changed? Is your life even being altered right now? See, some believers are way too concerned because they don't remember some cataclysmic experience they had back when they were a child. But that don't mean that you're half saved. No one can be half saved. If you're half saved, you're altogether lost. Somebody say amen. You're either all or none. So if you're trusting in Jesus right now, guess what? That means that there was a time in the past when you must have trusted in him then. The real test is not whether you remember a time, not whether you remember a place, but listen to me. At this moment in time, are you resting all of your trust, all of your faith, all of your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ now, today, at this present time? I read a little story about a country actor of old Will Rogers, and he went to get his passport. And the clerk asked Will Rogers, "Sir, I need to see your birth certificate." And Will Rogers said, "Well, what for?" And she said, "Well, I need it as proof of your birth." And he said, "Well, I'm here, ain't I?" Right? I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? Well, it makes a really great point to what I'm trying to say today. If you're trusting Jesus, present tense, if you're trusting him right now, guess what? There had to have been a time when you trusted him for the first time. But let me ask you this question. How do I know if I'm truly believing in Jesus right now? Well, the Bible teaches us that there are two witnesses in your life that'll tell you if you're truly believing in Jesus right now. The first witness is the witness of the Spirit. I mentioned that there in verse 10 of chapter 5. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The witness in himself. What that means for you and I is that the witness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is witnessing to your human spirit that quiet belief that you belong to God, that you are his possession, that you believe undoubtedly that you are covered, that every sin you've ever done is covered by the blood of Jesus. Wow. That kind of assurance only comes by the Spirit of God. But there's also the second witness, which is the witness of the Word. Let me continue in verse 11 of 1 John 5, where he says, "And this is the testimony." Here comes the Word. Here's the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. You can put that one in your pocket and take it home with you. Amen. He who has the Son has life. Man, I like stuff that gets through this hard head. Amen. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. It's just that clear. These things, John says, these things I have written to you who believe. The witness of the Word. These things I've written to you who believe that in the name of the Son of God that you may know. Say no. Friend, that you can know that you have eternal life. My. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Friends, these scriptures, this Bible, is given to us so that we may know that we're saved. This is how we know. The witness of the Spirit. And the witness of the Word. You and I can have 100% confident belief that the Word of God says that those who believe in the name of the Son of God know that they have eternal life. Man, I like the feel of that. I can know. But you know, so many people are saved and they go on living their life with doubts. They have doubts. And it's because they're looking back to that past experience. And they can't reconcile that with the life they're living today. They have that memory, that past tense memory, but they have no present tense evidence. I can't tell you about you, but you know. You know. Ask yourself this question today. Am I trusting Jesus today? Trusting. I-N-G, not E-D. Not that I trusted. I am trusting Jesus today to get me to heaven. I'm trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin. I'm trusting Jesus for my relationship with God. I'm trusting Jesus to bring me into the family of God. I'm trusting Jesus. It's all Jesus. And listen, friend, if today you can't say that, today's your day. You don't have to walk out of here the same way you walked in. You can walk out of here trusting Jesus for your eternal life. And if you are already trusting Him, please know that there will be some genuine birthmarks in your life. If you are trusting Jesus, there will be this desire, this overwhelming desire in your life to obey God, to obey His commandments, to obey His law, to be steered by His word, to be guided by what God says, not what I say. You'll have the desire to obey Him. Second birthmark, you will love God's people. You will fall in love with the family of God, with all their infirmities, with all the ugliness, with all the sin and all the failures and flaws. You fall in love with the people of God. You know why? Because they're in the same boat as you are. We all got it. We all got the flaws. We all got the sins. We're all wretched in our own silly ways. But one of the birthmarks that I'm truly born again is I fall in love with the people of God. And finally, there will be this quiet belief, this quiet assurance in my heart, witnessed by the Holy Spirit of God to my spirit and witnessed by the Word of God, that I belong to Him. I don't belong to this world. I don't belong to Bill Barlow. I don't belong to anybody else. I belong to God. Amen. I pray that you're trusting in Jesus today and you're assured of that promise. I'm so thankful that today's word tells me that I don't have to have an I think so salvation. It breaks my heart when I'm talking to somebody and I ask them, hey, brother, are you going to heaven, man? Can't you wait? Well, I hope so. He has a hope so salvation. John tells us today, no, sir, you can have an I know so salvation so that you can know that you have eternal life. You know, it always starts with the man and the woman in the mirror. Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know that that eternal life is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ? We're going to be kind of driving that theme home all this week. But I thought to myself, what a better way to start than right here in the midst of the church that's sending them. Right? Let us make sure that we know and that we aren't depending on some pie in the sky, hope so salvation. How sad is that? That if you're gone today, you hope so? I think so. No, friend, I want you to know so. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us that we can know, that we can know, that we can know that we have eternal life, and that eternal life is found in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. End of story, full stop, period. Lord, help us to put all of our trust in him. Lord, we do know that much growth comes after that relationship is established. Lord, we're not discounting obedience. We're not discounting the family. We're not discounting that quiet assurance. Lord, we know that we are a work under construction. And Lord, I'm thankful that I'm surrounded by men and women who are also under construction like I am. Lord, help us to have patience and perseverance and affection and love and compassion for our like-minded brothers and sisters who are under construction as well. Father, I pray that today not one person walks out of this house. Not one person walks out of this house with a hope-so salvation. Lord, if they will be willing to come forward during this time of decision, I won't give them what Bill thinks, what the church thinks. I'll show them what your word says about how they can have eternal life. Lord, what a pity it would be for us to conclude such a wonderful worship service only to have somebody who's on the way home with a hope-so salvation get into some catastrophic accident that would take their life. And if only they had responded and said, I choose a no-so salvation. Lord, you have your will and your way in every heart, in every mind, in every soul. And Lord, for every decision that needs to be made, Father, I pray that it would begin with me. I desire to obey you more fully. I desire to love my family more fully. I desire to have that assurance more fully. But Lord, especially for that person who doesn't enjoy a relationship with you like many of us do, Lord, let them walk out of here today celebrating that new relationship they have with God. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you so much for all that you've done in sending your son Jesus to save our souls. And it's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's...